Among you as one who serves. Wow! Here comes the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the Universe. Became a man like you and me, flesh and blood. He's the greatest of all. But he came to serve, not to be served. He say, I am among you as one who serves. I need to sit at the table so that you can serve me. But I want to show you what it is to be like me, like Christ. Not just talk about it, but to live it out. To live it out. Can we go back again then to Philippians chapter 2? To live it out. Then make my joy complete by being continuously like-minded. In other words, like Christ. Having the same love. What love, Paul? The same love as Christ has for you, as the Father has for Christ. One in spirit and of one mind. The very same attitude. Can I read it again? Folks, we listen to it every day nearly, in it, because it say here in verse 3 and 4, he say, there is something opposite of like-mindedness. There's something opposite of Christ-likeness, and that is verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. In other words, it takes humiliation to humble yourself and not to boast in yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. No. Sorry, Paul. The world say, if you get something, go and get it. You want something, step on people and abuse them and misuse them to get what you want. We live in a time of Revelation chapter 3 of Laodicea. It is the human rights. It's my right to have it. It's my right to say it. My dear children of God, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you've been born out of God, we don't have any rights. We only have privileges as a child of God. That's why so many times that we don't live in victory, we don't experience the blessing and the effectiveness and the like-mindedness in serving others, because it's a burden, because it is about us, our selfish ambitions and vain conceit. We will be puffed up and we think we are the main peanut in the empty can. We think we are cat's whiskers and we are actually nothing without Jesus Christ. You know, that donkey that Jesus ride upon when he entered Jerusalem. You know, I wonder many times, oh, what does that donkey think when Christ was on his back? Oh, the people was spreading their garments before him and all those palm leaves and wow. And everybody say, hail Hosanna, hail to Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he feels so proud because he carried the Messiah. But when his work, his function was over and the Messiah is no more on his back, people don't put their garments in front of him anymore. People don't put those palm leaves and trees and stuff before the donkey. Now that donkey is just a simple donkey, because we can get so puffed up, so full of ourselves, that we forgot to serve as our master. To serve. Can I ask us another question? Are we willing to be third? Not first, but third. A few years back here at the mission, we have a conference from with a Pastor Mario there from Brazil. He was here, and in that conference he sell those armbands, you know, what would Jesus do, and you know, they get the other one, what frog, fully rely on God. But he have a unique one. He said, "I am third." I bought myself one. I think it was, can't remember the price, but I bought for myself one and my wife one. Am I really willing to be third? And what do you mean by that, Chris? Well, you see, if it comes between you and me, it is God first, you will be second, and I am third. When it comes to my wife, it is God first, my wife will be second, and I will be third. When it comes to my children, God comes first, my children will come second, and I will be always third. In any relationships, it will go God first, then you, and then me. It is not me and then God and then you or whatsoever. It's always God first and that other person and then me. And that is easy to say. Do I really live it out? Can I ask you another question? Or can I ask us, what gives you, what gives me really joy in life? What make us happy? Is it really the joy of the Lord that it is a joyful experience to serve Him? Is it really the joy for me to serve others? Because when I serve others, I actually serve God. Did you know that? When I serve you, I serve God. Jesus asked, "How much do you love me?" And my love for God will be measured by my love for His word. And that will also work out and manifest itself in my love or for my love towards His children and to the lost. If I don't find any joy in serving, my question is, what might be the problem? If you don't find really any joy in serving others, in your community or in your church, in your family, in your household, or where you work, can we really say that it is a joy for me to serve God, to love God, to obey God? Can I really say that I dealt with my pride and my selfishness and my self-centeredness and my to be possessive about stuff and my materialistic attitude, that I crucify it? And it has been crucified to me. Do I really love to serve? What will it cost me to have this attitude of Christ? To serve like Him, to love like Him, to have that same goal and purpose and mindset like Him. That one spirit of purpose, what will it cost me to live it out? I want to read for us a verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. I appeal to you brothers and sisters in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And folks, that doesn't mean we must be a lot of yabroers to say yes, yes, yes for everything. No, it's not what he's saying. And it is also not someone who always say no, 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 no. No. Because if everybody say yes, 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 it means no one is thinking here. And you also don't want somebody who always fight. No, it is, we have the same goal, the same mindset. We have the same spirit. We work towards the same purpose and the same goal. So we need to be on the same paper, the same page to be like Christ. Doesn't mean that we lost our identity and our personalities. No. But we have the same thing in mind to glorify God. That we will live it out. In my concrete circumstances, and it will differ from one another, the applications of this truth. But I love it when this person say, he say, listen to what she said. It is she, Dr. Mears. She said, Christian experience is not something that is going on around you, but in you. Wow. Then I think of a book that I read long time ago about John Maxwell concerning leadership. He say about conflict, to solve conflict. He say, and I try to, maybe I must paraphrase it because I can't remember it from word to word. He say, 90% when things happens to us, 10% of what happens to us is outside, what Dr. Mears say here. And 90% is how we deal with it. It is not so much what happened outside of you, but what is happening inside of you. And that's got to do with my heart. That's got to do with my mindset, my attitude. Is my life really, if we talk about serving, talking about that one-mindedness, is my life really a sacrifice unto the Lord? And what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that's dead, that has been given up, totally given up, cut to pieces, never to come alive again, and to be totally surrendered to the one in whose hands I am. Because I want to come again to Philippians 2 verse 1, because it said the words here, therefore. Again, I want to ask that question. Why did Paul say therefore? Because Christ is the center of my life, says Paul. How can one be encouraged if Christ is not the center and source of my life? Being united in Christ, as 1 Corinthians 12:13 say, that we've been united in Christ because of conversion, that we've been saturated with one spirit in one body, that's conversion. What sort of comfort will it be for me if God doesn't love me? Because he talked here in Philippians 2 that the comfort from his love. And many, many dear children of God struggle with the fact that God loves them dearly. If I struggle with that concept that God loves me dearly, how can I be comforted that when I go through trials and tribulations and a lot of challenges that sometimes I feel overwhelmed by it and I'm going to drown here? Because maybe I stand on my own self-righteousness. And because I'm wounded by so many people in my inner man, that I think that God has given up on me. And he will not. Because look at the cross. He never did. And he also asked a question about the fellowship of the Spirit. How can there be a fellowship if I don't have that mindset? He say here in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the benediction that we sow every Sunday here from the pulpit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Sure. Christ-likeness, Christ-mindedness, it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, because of what Christ has done, we have access to God the Father. And folks, if you read Ephesians, And you see how Paul glorified God because of what Christ has done. And you read chapter 3 of Ephesians, actually the whole 6 books. But if you read the first 3 chapters, you see how dogmatic it is. That is what Christ has done for us. And that you and I, who is not a Jew, can be so grateful that the gospel comes to us and that Christ and God has accepted us in Christ, that because we come to faith and through faith to Him, and He paved the way for us to have access to a most holy God. That's why He say, this is the reason I kneel before God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Christ has done for us. And He make it possible for us to enter into the holies of holies, to call God our Father. Jesus laid His life down for us. Make it personal for you. If this wasn't true, why did Paul exhort the Philippians and for us as well? If any tenderness and compassion, that is in verse 1 of Philippians 2, He's busy explaining, He's busy demonstrating and revealing the heart of God to you and to me. The tenderness, the compassion of the Most High God. How can the world come to God and to experience something of His love and of His tenderness and His compassion if we are stone dead? If we who say that we are children of God don't love to serve, and we are so hard-hearted, selfish, full of ourselves, self-centered, how can we reflect the God that saved us? How can we draw Him closer to those who think that He's so far and distant and that He doesn't exist? Because for many He's like something there in the corner of heaven looking to them and with a binoculars and just want to see where He can zap them. How will they experiencing something of this great God if we don't show them through our actions? As Paul say here, then I want to encourage you, then I want to charge you, then I want to exhort you to show that, to live that Christ-likeness, that like-mindedness is rooted in Jesus Christ and in His love of who He is. That is what verse 5 say of Philippians 2. That very same mindset as Christ Jesus. Friends, and that is a lifelong journey. And we won't arrive in this life. The destination is not here in this life. The destination of this is when Christ come, or when I lay my life down for Him. Because listen again what it say. Those words that Paul use here. You know, we want to reign and we want to have power and we want to conquer, and we say we are a children of the King, and we are a prince of the Most High God, and we are a princess of the Most High God, and we use all these slogans and what are you manifesting? What are you demonstrating through your serving? You know, people don't care how much you know, until they see how much you care. Isn't that what we many times say to each other? Now, I want to take that very same saying, and I can ask myself, Chris, that is what I many times say to others. Thus people see and know how much you care for them. Or do you try every time to give them a spiritual knockout with the knowledge that you have to show them how clever you are and you are a learned person and? Do I really have that love, that heartfelt love for my fellow brethren, brothers and sisters, even for the lost? That I love to serve them, that I will go out of my way because it is rooted. This passion, this tenderness is rooted in Jesus Christ's love. That means it will calls for humility as Christ humbled himself. And it means I will also recognize and acknowledge my shortcomings and my limitations. And I need to humble myself and eat enough humble pie so that God can elevate me. It calls for servanthood, that I will roll up my sleeves and get down on my force and serve others. When others wrong me, to forgive them and have mercy on them. And it asks and it calls for wisdom, isn't it? How to act and how to relate and how to solve. And it also calls for intercession for them through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. It also calls me up to live a life of selflessness and sacrifice. To be Christ-like. To be like-minded, to be of one accord, one goal, one purpose, on the same page. Different personalities, different circumstances, different applications, but one goal, one mindset. God must be glorified. God must be manifest through my life, so that every knee will bow before him. Those in heaven and those on earth and underneath the earth. And every tongue acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, when they look at my life. How are we doing? And I believe that God is speaking to us this morning in this hour. I believe that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on many things in our lives. Let us take that to the Lord. Let us deal with it thoroughly. And let us repent where the Spirit convict us, where we fell short, and cry out unto him, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want not just talk about him. I want to live him. For me to live is Christ. Because it is possible, because he say it is Christ. And it's practical. I can live it every day, as he say that in Philippians chapter 1. May God help us. May God help you. And may God give you the grace and the mercy you need, I need, to put this to practice and do adjustments and come in line with God and what he wants from us. This I pray for myself and for you one and all. God bless you. Amen.